we have in the studio Kieran.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back after last time.
Yeah, you may remember Kieran was on the Iraq War special that we had back in March. Kind of ended in a fiery kind of way, but it was fairly a conversation heated in the end. But I guess when you were there, you kind of mentioned a lot about Private Manning and the Julian Assange, and since then the whole Edward Snowden thing has come to pass. So we thought we'd have you back on.
Great, thank you.
So a lot's been happening in the area of, I mean, media stories to do with WikiLeaks and so on, and we were aware that you've been a campaigner in that area for a while and an activist. So, what brought you to being involved with that in the first place?
Well, I guess we all come to this story from different stories ourselves, and part of my story is that I've served roughly 2 years in prison in the United States, Australia and Ireland primarily, and I know the significance of solidarity when you're in prison. And I think what sustains you in prison is, one, I'd call it spirituality, but also, in Manning's case, because it was an atheist, identity. And I think that's led to the name change, etc. And the solidarity of others, that people find your presence in prison significant to them, and you find their struggles for peace and justice on the outside significant. So it's that solidarity thing. One's spirituality, one's identity is very subjective. And I've got a lot of anger in me, I guess, because 1.5 million people marched against this war in this country, maybe even in the city. I watched that march from Limerick Prison after disabling a US Navy warplane. It was a sky feed into the cell. And I think if you march against war, you implicitly incite people to nonviolently resist the war. And I think both Manning, who's exposed the war, and Julian, who passively received that and circulated it, face spending their lives in prison and maybe dying in prison. I've been in jail 3 times and people have been murdered, and there hasn't been much an inquiry into any of those murders. And now Snowden is also in jeopardy. So usually with war, people like myself, which is first world white men, live in a kind of protected environment. And next week we'll see Arab people being killed again. This is my third American killing spree of Arab children. And so you got people very much like me, first world white men like Snowden, Assange, Manning, moving into the same kind of jeopardy that Vietnamese, Arab, East Timorese, the North of Ireland people, Guatemalans, Salvadorans inhabit. So we're afforded a kind of parallel universe. They let us march, and the gentleman's agreement is that you can have your march if we can have our war. So the slogan, "Not in my name," is quite suspicious because they don't need our name now. It's very different from, if you're going to get to them, you've got to get through us. And I know that's why for the last 3 years I haven't been involved in much nonviolent direct action myself, because there's been these two guys, two people, and Manning have been so isolated. Manning grew up here in Wales. Julian is being surrounded by the London Metropolitan Police, and whether it's the anarchist scene or whether it's NGO human rights groups or the anti-war movement in general, they've been largely abandoned and hung out to dry. And when you look at the Snowden case, who gets Snowden out of Hong Kong is not the well-resourced Guardian, who would have let him hung out to dry, the same newspaper that attacks Julian on a daily basis. It's WikiLeaks who gets him out, and that's why he's not in prison today.
And you alluded to that over the last few years you've had to almost take a step back or from how active you've been previously. What kind of tasks would you be? I mean, how would your work be manifesting itself at this point?
Well, I think, you know, we're all given different gifts, and I think mine is that I can start an argument in an empty house, and what's needed is tension. And there's no tension during this country being at war, and it's still at war in Afghanistan. It's been at war in Syria for 2 years with special forces on the ground. And American bases will be used next week that are here. Cyprus will probably be used, Diego Garcia. So the lack of tension means they've learnt from Vietnam that the improvements in warfare is, one, the effectiveness in killing people, but also marketing normalcy at home. So I guess my task is to nonviolently confront those institutions that are profiting from the war. Like most people who participate in Iraq and Afghanistan, whether it be the people themselves who live there or the soldiers who are sent through Shannon Airport, suffered. But a handful of people, whether it be Halliburton or the Pentagon, profited. And that's why these wars continue, because there's a short-term profit motive involved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the just conversation about Syria, that's obviously very current with the G20 summit going on at the moment and so on, whole conversation to be had there. But going back to the case of Private Manning, so, I mean, you've been following the case very closely, and was it a surprise to hear the conviction?
Well, Obama had already found him guilty in San Francisco. He said he was guilty. That's the commander-in-chief. So what do you expect from a military judge? Or as my father would say, what do you expect from a pig but a grunt? I only took up Manning 6 months after he was being tortured and incarcerated, and I went to a Stop the War march, and there was no mention of him at that march, no banner referring to him but the little placard I had. And then Julian got lifted, and it's only last week that I've met Manning's mother and uncles and aunt, and Manning's been held incommunicado for 3 years, so they can call him a bedwetter, cross-dressing, badly motivated person. It's only in March this year that we hear his voice for the first time, when someone secretly tapes it, and we hear a rational person, a moral person, a considered person. Now, with Snowden, he flew straight from Hawaii to Hong Kong and spoke straight to camera, so they didn't have time. They went after his girlfriend, called her a lap dancer, called him a high school dropout, but that never really stuck. So it was great to meet people who know him as a person, not just a public figure, last week, and they're very compassionate, good people from a very small town, and I look forward to meeting them again and helping them. Basically, I wondered what I was doing. I said, I'm here to support you, to support him.
Because, this is when you met the family most recently.
Yeah, right. In Haverfordwest, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And they, you know, the FBI were on Mrs. Manning's doorstep 2 days after he was lifted in Baghdad. The peace movement didn't get there at all, and the first approach was quite opportunistic and quite counterproductive and kind of scared the family off. So our approach is very cautious, very respectful. We're there to say, what can we do for you rather than what can you do for us?
Well, I've read that you would actually taken it upon yourself to bring a donation down to them, as they'd been travelling across to the States a fair bit. And
yeah, they've been four times with no financial support from the anti-war movement in Britain, and that really demands an inquiry or an inquest, because it's pretty dead. And we had a little gig in Brisbane when I was back home. We raised $300 for Julian's family, $300 for Bradley's family, and I couldn't get it to them, so it was sitting under my bed for a year. And it was great to then have a number of gigs at our place, and also even when we vigil, if we get a busker, we put out a box, and I could hand over 460 quid. And what was significant to them was not the money, but that all these people who'd worked with me had put themselves out, and they were very, very humbled and touched by that. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It was the gesture more than anything.
Yeah, because I think everything we do is both actual and symbolic. Like we have 22 homeless people living with us. You give them a meal, it puts off hunger pains, but it's a symbol of one day everyone can be fed. So everything operates on a symbolic and actual level. Mm-hmm. You know, disarming a plane 20 years ago, put a B-52 out of action for 4 months, but that story lives on in London today, even though it happened in New York.
Mm-hmm. And well, following the court case, I think it was the following day we had this name change announcement in the media. What would you make of the timing of that coming about?
Well, as a Manchester United fan, I was quite distressed that it was Chelsea. But someone suggested that it could be having a go at the Clintons. It's interesting, because I thought this week, only the last few days, that, you know, a non-violent struggle, in any struggle, even playing tennis or football, you have to keep the initiative. So what did the mainstream media do? They pushed the name change. They pushed the blonde wig photo. I think you could find a photo of Cameron, Boris Johnson, Clegg all cross-dressed at Oxford and Cambridge. I'd like to put that up on the internet and say which one is not the war criminal.
So back at that school at that Eton place we used to go to.
The Bullingdon Bullingdon. Yeah.
So if you remember Portillo saying, you know, admitting to homosexual experiences at Oxford, he knew the media already had that, so he cut them short by coming out with it. So it's a distraction. It's a deflection from the 35 years jail sentence, a deflection from the crime that is collateral murder. In a very similar way, the Edward Snowden deflection turned into a Jason Bourne chase, and not that we have no privacy anymore. So it was all that Jason Bourne stuff, the terminal, he's in the terminal, rather than a discussion that we have no privacy, the government has no transparency. And so it's a mainstream media deflection. Just to say something about David there, he's a really good activist as well as a musician. Recently, some friends were on trial for disabling a helicopter gunship in Rockhampton. One guy was on a tricycle when he got across the runway, and I sent him the footage and gave him a few themes, and he's got a great song within 24 hours, 36 hours. And then when we're on trial in Dublin, I emailed him and said, you know, there's a song, Who Would Jesus Bomb? Could you play that during your English tour? And he emailed back 20 minutes later and said, you want me to come to Dublin to do a gig? I went, yeah, great. So, yeah, good guy, and he's touring Australia at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, he had a bit of a sob story. He got thrown out of New Zealand.
Oh, they wouldn't let him in. Yeah,
before he even got there.
Yeah, he was in the Tokyo hotel when he wrote the gunship story. So
he's used to it.
Yeah. So also Jello Biafra was very helpful recently, managed to get onto him, and he does a great, I lent him my 3XL t-shirt, and I've still got this sweat of Jello Biafra in it because I'm not washing it, and took him in to meet Julian, and it was the largest public meeting we had for Manning in London in 3 years, was that punk rock gig in Camden. It's great.
So going back to the topic there. Where were we? So, sounds like you...
About the name change.
About the name change.
Yeah, well, as I said before, what sustains you in prison is your sense of spirituality or identity. And I think this is probably something Manning has wanted to do for a long time, and his legal advice was not to. And he's worked out what you have to do to get 30 through 35 years. I mean, when I was in Texas, I was the only gringo in the jail. What I had to do every morning was run 3 miles, go to mass... And there were I end up hanging out with the transsexual community because no one would eat with me and no one would eat with them. So for the first month till I integrated myself. So he's decided that this is something he needs to do, and we need to support him in that choice. Yeah. And his family are quite comfortable with it. His mother and his uncles and aunts and.
Would you, from your experience, be concerned of the conditions that you'd be facing in prison from now? Or?
Yeah, well, when I heard he did this, I was frightened for him because my jail experience is often they would be put on protection, and he's usually on protection, are pedophiles and snitches. But we know from his lawyer, Coombs, that that is not the case. He's in general population, and he is doing well. So he's not going to... The most reckless place in jail is remand, because everyone in there didn't know they were going to jail that day. They don't know what the girlfriend's doing. They're coming off their drugs, whether it's coffee or dope or smack or whatever, and they don't know when their out date is. Now, once people are settled in and work out how they're going to negotiate prison, and he's not in shock of capture. He's done 3 years already. And the worst part, I asked a friend who did 7 years in Darwin, why do people try and escape 3 weeks before they're let out? And she said, the first 6 months I was in, my head was on the outside. The last 6 months I was in, my head was on the outside. But once you're inside and you know this is your environment, you can negotiate it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And I haven't followed, would there be an appeal? Or?
I would think so, yeah. And there's a petition to the White House for a pardon, and that was announced straight after the trial. And the website to go to is Bradley, the English, Welsh, Irish, Scottish one we call Wise Up to avoid UK, actually, is Wise Up Bradley Manning will get you there. And Bradley Manning Support Group coming out of San Francisco, that comes out of Courage to Resist, which was set up to support military resistors by Jeff Patterson, who was in jail when I was in jail in the States because he sat down on a runway in Hawaii and refused to board a troop carrier to Saudi Arabia. So they're all good people. They have prison experience. We're gathering people in Kansas City who also have prison experience to greet the Manning family when they go there. So we have people with experience, and we just need to gather the resources and defray the costs, because they've already spent quite a bit of money for the four visits, and we just want to make it as easy as possible for them to support the one they love. You know?
Okay. moving on to another story that's been in the public eye quite a bit recently, which was the arrest of the Guardian journalist David Miranda. It's kind of related to the whole story with WikiLeaks. Seems that the British state really, struggled to retain his stranglehold on the situation there. What would your thoughts be as to what might follow in that case?
Well, I think what happened there in Hong Kong was the humiliation of the American empire. It's supposed to be an omnipresent, can do anything, can get anyone at any time empire. And WikiLeaks got him out of Hong Kong. And it's similar to the Ploughshares action with the big bloke on the tricycle. If you go to Rocky Ploughshares, Google that, you'll see an amazing thing that they can't even secure an airfield, let alone the country. They're up there training for invading other countries. Actually, it has nothing to do with the defence of Australia, Operation Talisman Sabre. So that's an aspect to it, that the empire is humiliated, that they can't get Julian at the moment, they can't get Edward, they've got Bradley or Chelsea. They will go for the next ripple. And the next ripple, I think, involves Sarah, who I know personally, who was with Snowden there in Hong Kong, got into Russia. And it involves Greenwald, who's a mainstream journalist who lives in Brazil with his partner. And possibly involves Laura, who took the footage in that room. These people are now entering severe jeopardy, and we need to accompany them. The other aspect is this inquiry has now turned into a terrorist inquiry. My understanding is a civil suit was taken by Miranda, the special branch are covering their ass by now turning into a terrorist inquiry. So if you get brought in, you're in this netherworld between being a witness and a suspect. And I don't quite understand that yet. I've got to study that. You tell them nothing. You ask for a lawyer for advice, because it's a very different thing from being the rights of being a suspect and the rights of being a witness, because you could be withholding information towards a terrorist act or something like that if it's a terrorist inquiry. So I've been lifted, I think it was 5 times in Dublin, Belfast and Luton Airport. And again, misinformation, like we launched a great documentary called Root Irish, and not to be confused with the Ken Loach film by... And I saw them look at me. I thought they'd get stopped at Dublin. I landed at Luton. 3 anti-terrorist guys got me before I even stepped off the tarmac, before I picked up my bag, and said, "We have intelligence from the Irish Gardaí." And that's the first mistake you make, putting those two words together. And that you're a threat to the aviation industry. And then they said, "Are you part of Plain Stupid?" And I vaguely had heard that name before, and he called me stupid. So I said, then I worked out, okay, it's a group against short-haul flights or something. And I said, surely if I was part of that group, I would have come by the ferry and the train. And they cynically said, "You'd be surprised." So they're marching me off with bad intelligence. And I go, "Why don't you Google me?" And they said, "That's a really good idea." So... then I got stopped going back to Ireland by them at Luton again for the Bridget's Festival. As we left Dublin, the sirens went off and the special branch stopped us right on the edge of Dublin and said, "Are you going to Shannon Airport?" We hadn't left Dublin. We said, "No, we're going to a religious festival and you're persecuting us as Catholics," right? And so then the special branch come back and he said, "We've got Mr. O'Reilly here, an eco-terrorist." And I said, "I'm not even environmentally sound. I just flew Ryanair from England, you know." So this, it's like the opening scene of Brazil when the fly gets caught in the typewriter and they pick up the wrong guy. This bad intelligence just circulates. And the dangerous thing about these people is they've got careers and mortgages and money tied up in their jobs. If they haven't got a problem, they'll create one. They'll take someone like me, a pacifist, and hype me up to be a threat, you know. Now, as a pacifist, even if I'm completely wrong about everything, I'm not going to do too much harm, am I? I hope you're listening.
then moving on, I guess with them being 12 hours or so ahead in Australia, it would be the opening of the polls there around now.
Yeah, they're 9 hours ahead on the East Coast. And so this in Australia, voting is compulsory. You have to vote. And if you get fined if you don't vote. In the good old days, you went to jail if you didn't pay that fine. I voted once in my life for myself when I was 19 and ran for Centre Council. So you've got a minority government in coalition with the Green Party. And I've just gotten into a big fight on the internet with some Greens for making a comment that there's now a permanent US Marine base under the watch of the Greens in coalition with Labor. And you've got the Liberal Party, which is like British Conservatives, who will probably win this election. And then you've got Julian running for a Senate seat. And he spent his teenage years, late teenage years, he went to 22 schools. His mother's a puppeteer. They moved around a lot. There's a very good film called Underground about those years. And there was a real chance that he would win a seat in the Senate there. And, you know, I was listening to him the other night because I'm not into electoralism, but the Senate is a House of Review. So it's a good idea to have investigatory journalists in the House of Review, one would think.
Is he going to get elected? What do you think? I mean, he seems to have made a balls of the whole WikiLeaks party, but him personally, do you think he will get elected?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in debate with some good, very good direct action friends of mine, anarchists, who I said, your biggest mistake was getting involved in electoral politics. You know, I won't pick up a gun for him because I'm pacifist. I won't vote for him because I'm pacifist. I wouldn't join a political party. We've got to keep him out of jail. I really thought he should run a more Bobby Sands type campaign. But very ambitiously, they started the WikiLeaks party. It was getting momentum. And then there were complaints about internal democracy. Well, if you look at the Green Party in Germany, they took 20 years to form. Then they had the fundamentalist pragmatist split. Then they formed coalition government and bombed Serbia. This is a party that came out of the German peace movement, was bombing Serbia on behalf of NATO. So there are a lot of risks when you go into electoralism. I think, you know, that the best thing would have, you know, in that paradigm would have been to set up a central committee, say, look, it's such short notice, we don't know who's infiltrating us and joining the party, we're going to run it like this, if you agree to that, you join it, and then we'll have a conference after the election about internal democracy. So it was a very ambitious project. It's kind of imploded a bit around that question and where the preferences are going. And my understanding, I don't know why they ran against Scott Ludlam, who's been the most person most advocating for Julian in the Senate.
That was in Victoria State?
Western Australia. Okay. They decided to run in Western Australia. But they chose to do that. And then the preferences were given to an Aboriginal guy running for a right-wing party. Now, to me, and the same with Manning and Assange. You do not want to romanticise anybody. Aboriginal people, Irish people, Manning, Assange. That is two bad experiences away from demonising them. It's just as racist to romanticise an Aboriginal person as it is to demonise them. Human beings are very messy because we have free will. That's why people prefer to defend the trees and the animals, because they'll never let you down. But people will. You get in a messy area, move from animal liberation to human liberation, you're dealing with complex, you know, variables.
But is Assange going to win then? Is he going to get a seat?
I think he's got a chance. I think most Australians are very sceptical of the policing procedures in Sweden. We're used to juries. We're used to having our police interviews recorded. They are also, he's very, you know, on camera and in debate, very, what's the word, very effective. And I think what the reports I'm getting from friends in Australia who watch mainstream media, he's getting very little oxygen. So it's a weird thing. I mean, Australians are like glorified Afrikaans, and they're going to vote out a party that's kept the economy pretty well. I arrived back in Australia, and Kevin Rudd gave me a cash splash. I'd only been back 3 days. He gave me $600. Went out and bought a pair of football boots and stuff like that. And that actually got us through that little hump. And the Australian dollar is stronger than the American dollar. I remember when it was 53 cents American.
It's booming there, eh?
What's that?
It's booming, though.
Because we're selling everything from China. Now, where Australians find our security is not building peace and justice in Australia and reconciling with Aboriginal people. And welcoming refugees, we find our security in servicing empire. And we service the British in Sudan and World War One and the Boer War in Malaysia. And we service the Americans in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Syria. And the key way we will service the killing of Arabs next week is not by boots on the ground, it's through Pine Gap. It's off the radar geographically. It's right near Alice Springs. Catholic worker broke into it 5 years ago. 3 days before they broke into it, Negroponte was there. Negroponte ran the war in Central America, that bloody war, and he was then appointed to run the war in Iraq. What's he doing out in Alice Springs, which is literally, I've been there, in the middle of nowhere, you know?
pretty remote place.
That's significant. And the film you should watch is Snowman the Falcon, connecting with Christopher Boyce, who just did 24 years. And that tells you how the Pine Gap played a role in destabilising the Whitlam reformist government of the early 70s. And Australians don't know what happens at that base. It's an NSA base. Yeah.
Cool. I'm quite impressed that we got through
the cover of February topic.
Yeah.
Briefly, kind of just...
I've got opinions on football fixing.
maybe you can stick around and... Could you fill us in on the best ways of getting in, showing solidarity with Private Manning?
From my own experience, where you raise money for prisoners, because prisoners are largely out of sight, out of mind, is when the action takes place and when the sentence takes place. So we rapidly had to accept donations through the London Catholic Worker. That's how you'd sign a check. On the back of that check, you'd put Manning support, and you'd mail it to 49 Madison Road, London, that's Haringey, and it's N41BG. And then we hope by the end of the year to have a more official, separate bank account. And write to him. The first month I was in prison in Texas, I was getting assaulted, spat at, roughed up by guards. When the mail came in, I received 1,700 letters in 9 months from 27 countries. Once that happened, I got a lot safer. So you can never underestimate sending a postcard from London. You'd have to use Bradley Manning. His name is not changed by DPOL. Mm-hmm. Once you start the letter, you can call in Chelsea. The more letters, the safer it is for the person. And it's a very dangerous place to be because he's being guarded by soldiers who are convinced that he cost the lives of their friends in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah.
Do you happen to know his address?
That'd be on the Bradley Manning support site. The address has changed. There's 5 jails in the 20,000 strong town of Leavenworth. There's two or three civilian or two or three military. And if you go to the Bradley Manning support website, they'll have the new address there.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Or you can, Gandhi used to get letters Gandhi India, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
My father was a postman. I used to work in the post office.
We get a lot of letters to Austria. Quite a remote place, but.
What's that?
Kansas State is also quite a remote place, I suppose.
It is, yeah. Yeah, if you wrote military prison, Kansas, Leavenworth, Kansas, you'd probably get there eventually.
Yeah, cool.
Well, thanks a lot for coming in, Kieran.
Great, thanks for having me. After my performance last time.
Went a bit smoother.
Took me out of the public space and put me in this basement.